Hey, I'm Dan Gilman, the producer of Dead Tribe Paranormal, and I want to thank you for listening to the very first ever episode of Dead Tribe Paranormal, and I really hope you enjoy it. I also wanted to let you know that we recorded this episode at John Shrena's house, and he has a little uninvited guest, and you're going to hear some EVPs recorded live, which is pretty fitting because this is a podcast episode about EVPs, and I'm going to duck the music on those parts, so it'll be easier to pick out. Enjoy, and let us know what you think.
Welcome, everybody, to our first Dead Tribe Paranormal podcast. I'm John Shrena.
I'm Kelly Gilbert, and today we're going to be talking about electronic voice phenomenon, EVPs for short. That's one of the main types of evidence that ghost hunters seek out, that they catch for evidence. So I'm a ghost hunter, you're a ghost hunter, former, somewhat current, John.
Yes, ma'am. And we have somebody special here with us today.
Dun-dun-dun.
Hi, John. Hi, Kelly. I'm Kurt Knapp.
My partner in crime.
Lead investigator, Ghost New England Research Society. Thanks for having me on. I brought some interesting EVPs for you guys to listen to today and play for your audience. I think you'll find this show educational and entertaining.
Yeah, it's always so exciting when you catch these things. You sit there for hours, you ask questions. Is anyone here? Can you do something? Can you say something? And then when you actually catch it later on, it's like the best. You love it, John?
I love it.
Love it.
So what we're going to do is we're going to play a few for you, and we're going to explain, ask questions, we'll tell you where they came from, how we captured them, and we'll go back and forth from Kelly and Kurt's group to my group.
Yeah, and starting from even before going to the house, how did all this start? So, Kurt, you founded Goners. How did you do that? Why?
After a lifelong interest in the paranormal, I founded Goners in 2009 because I saw a need for a professional group, an experienced group. People were reaching out to me because they knew I had an interest in the paranormal. And they would say, you know, I have something going on in my house. I don't know what it is. I have a lot of questions. So I put together Goners with a group of people who I knew would, at first, an interest in the paranormal and a genuine love of helping people.
All right.
Kurt, I have a question. Did you find that most of the reason why maybe you started was that there was a lot of groups or people out there more for the glory of doing it, as opposed to educating and helping people?
You know, honestly, John, at the time, I wasn't aware of really any other groups except for Ed and Lorraine Warren. Mm-hmm. My interest in the paranormal started when I was 11 years old, and my mom passed away suddenly. And so immediately I had an interest. You know, we weren't really a religious family, so I had a lot of questions. You know, where does a person go when they die? What happens to their spirit? Does it stay on the earth? Does it go somewhere else? Does it just kind of fade off into infinity? So I began to read everything I could on the afterlife, on ghosts, on people's theories and experiences. Hans Holzer had a big influence in my early years. I read everything I could get my hands on from him. My first love actually was UFOs, believe it or not.
You know,
besides that, but that's probably going to be another show. But
Will now, close encounter possibly with John the other day.
I don't know if I want to talk about this now. But.
So UFOs and then ghosts then.
Well, when I was a teenager, I lived in a house that was haunted. And there was my bedroom was the third floor in an attic. And half the attic was finished, and there was a wall and a door that went into the unfinished part of the attic. And when we first moved in, I noticed there was a lock on the door in the bedroom side. And I thought that was kind of strange because there was no way to get into the attic from the ground floor. I mean, this is the third floor. And I kept it locked because, you know, it's a lock. You should use it. And I would come home from school and go up to my bedroom, and the door would be open. And the lock would be unlocked. And we had, it was a time, it was just my father and I living there. My brother had been living at home. He had been drafted. He was in the Army. So this got to be kind of a game. When they left in the morning, I would go lock the door and kind of stand there and look at it and say to myself, yes, that is locked, and go to school. And I couldn't wait till I got home. I'd come home, kind of creep up the stairs, look over the, you know, the railing and say, oh, it's unlocked again. Now, there was nobody coming in, as I said. There's no, you know, landlord or anything who would come into our apartment.
Right.
And I began to notice that, you know, things would move around and you'd kind of catch glimpses, you know, fleeting glimpses out of the corner of your eye of things. And as it turned out, I found out that someone had passed away in the house, probably 4 or 5 years before we moved in. I never found out conclusively, you know, what was going on there, because half the time I was really curious and half the time I was just scared to death. You know?
Yeah. And 100% of the time there wasn't internet. But you had to go search that out.
As I got older, you know, I graduated from high school. I joined the Marine Corps, became a military policeman, had a lot of investigative training, and I was stationed in Okinawa. And Okinawa was the scene of one of the biggest battles in World War II and had a lot of stories of ghosts, of the specters of Japanese soldiers come running out of the jungles, you know, onto the airstrips, or seen walking down the streets or whatever. And I heard a few of these, and I thought, well, this is really a good opportunity to look into this. And there was one in particular. I was stationed for a short while on the Marine Corps Air Station in Okinawa, and there was a fuel dump, which they hired local contractors, local Japanese civilians, to guard. And the story was that one of the guards, these guys carried shotguns slung over their shoulder. It was a weapon. One of the guards had either forgot to put the safety on or was fiddling around with it, and he managed to shoot himself.
Oh, no.
Blow the back of his head off. And his ghost was seen from then on. Not all the time, but occasionally, especially guys, military police working, you know, midnight to 8 shift, would go out to the fuel depot and look for him, and once in a while they'd catch a glimpse of that.
Oh, God.
So, of course, I did that.
Okay,
of course. Because I was interested in ghosts. And I went there one night, and I walked around the fuel depot, and I heard footsteps behind me. And there was no, I turned around, there was nobody there.
Okay.
And I walked a little bit further, and I heard footsteps behind me. And I turned around, and there was nobody there. And I thought, well, it's really time to get out of there. And I never saw anything, but I definitely heard, you know, the footsteps of somebody, almost like they were on patrol, just a, you know, a walking cadence going around the things. And there was other stories that I could go into, but this is only a 45-minute show, so I don't want to dominate it.
You know, I find that most people get started into it because they grew up in a haunted house or had an experience when they were younger, just like myself. I lived in a haunted house growing up. And would experience nothing terrifying, but as a kid, you know, when you see a light come on, you know nobody's home,
right?
Especially
if you're home by yourself.
Yeah, and one night, this was one of the experiences that really got me going and interested in it. Is I'm laying in my dad's bed; he was gone, and it was a water bed, and I was facing a window, and I felt like somebody kneeled down in back of me, and I got the chills, and I started to tilt backwards.
Oh my gosh.
So after it was done, I squeezed my hands. I'm like, go away, go away, go away, go away. I got up and ran out of the house. But ever since then, I've always had an interest. I got married. My wife said, no, I don't want you doing that. I don't want you messing around with that.
Sure.
So after my divorce, I like you, was interested in and got started to find different people. Took a little while, a mix of people, to find the right fit, and went from there.
Also, you know, having experienced that as a kid, and I'm sure you'll verify this, that when you're called for an investigation, if it involves children, it goes to the top of the list.
Absolutely.
Without question.
Absolutely.
It doesn't matter how busy we are, what other commitments we have. If there's children in the house who are in danger or even just afraid.
Yeah, just panicked.
It doesn't matter. We go right away.
I think that takes precedence over anything else. Absolutely. Yeah.
One of the first, probably the real investigations I ever conducted myself was in 1985. I was elected president of the corporation that controls the Masonic Building Association in Middletown. It's a gigantic old Victorian house and lodge rooms in back. And there had been rumors for years of the old Victorian mansion being haunted, and had a large central staircase that if you stood at the bottom of it, you could see all the way to the ceiling on the third floor.
Wow.
The fire department hated that because that's a, in the fire, that's a chimney. But that's another story. But there was a lot of reports of a woman in a black Victorian dress who had been seen drifting down the staircase or going in and out of rooms. And at the time, our largest tenant there was the Connection Incorporated, which is a drug and alcohol rehab group. They've since moved on to other quarters, but they would, part of my job as president of the organization was to get the phone calls and complaints from the tenants. Mm-hmm. And I would get one or two calls a week saying, somebody was in our office, they moved something around, Mary so-and-so is very upset because she has something on her desk and it's not there now.
Oh, no.
And it got to the point where I had to have a meeting with them and say, look, your place is locked up at night. It's alarmed. Nobody goes in there. You have to start thinking out of the box on this.
Mm-hmm.
Other than a normal thought, you have to think paranormal. And I told them the stories, that this place is notoriously haunted, supposedly. Although I hadn't at the time seen anything. And they began to confide in me that yes, we have seen things. We have heard noises when there's no one there, doors open and close occasionally. So I began to investigate on my own. When I had access to their offices as a landlord, and I would let them know I'm going in that night. I'm going to take a look around and see what's happening.
Do you find that most people don't want to believe?
Well, you do get a certain amount of people who are in denial. I mean, they will, when I tell somebody what I do, right, they say,
the crazy man.
Well, no, it's 80% of the time, roughly 80% will say, all right, let me tell you my story, right? About 10% will say, I'm a skeptic, well, whatever that means. I consider myself a skeptic too.
Exactly.
And 10% usually are coming from a strict religious background. They'll say, I don't believe in any of that. My religion doesn't permit that. It's not true. If it's not of God, it's demonic. But there's that 80% of people who have had some experience, who are willing to talk about it. And when they find out that it's, it's almost like a kindred spirit, somebody who can relate to, somebody they know is not going to make fun of them, they just unload. It's like a dam bursting. Oh, I got to tell you what happened to me as a kid. And you're trying to get, you're in the grocery store or something when this is going on, And you say, really, I've got to get home, an hour later. So there's that. And I would say most people are, really, especially with the advent of all the paranormal shows on TV.
Yeah.
It's become kind of an accepted thing that, yes, there are ghosts now. People know that there are. And maybe in some respects it's gone a little bit too far.
Well, what I found, even with coworkers, is they don't want to believe. So, therefore, they're not there. They'll come up with some other explanation on why their keys ended up in the other room. Or,
oh, sure.
Yeah, somebody's stealing this.
Yeah.
Conspiracy. They,
darn kids.
Dementia. Teenager, but it's dementia. It's not a ghost.
Well, there's all types of people and all types of intellects. And a friend of mine put it to me, I thought very succinctly. He's actually a professor of media at a local community college. And he said, he's a very religious guy. He's a devout Catholic.
Mm-hmm.
And we talk a lot about this stuff. And he says, I believe in all that spiritual stuff that's in the Bible. Why wouldn't I believe in ghosts?
Mm-hmm.
Why wouldn't I believe that, if there's a soul, that it can not necessarily go somewhere after death, that it may linger here either by choice or by being trapped or whatever, you know. So,
mm-hmm. Right.
So,
I mean, the whole thing is based on ghost anyway.
Right.
Wow. All right. Well, I guess we'll get into the EVPs now. So, Dan?
All right. So, we're going to start with one of yours, John.
Could you make that light up for me?
So what did everybody hear?
So I heard the question, and then it sounded like a chick in the background or a kid kind of.
It was. We were at Jonathan Pasco's in East Windsor, and this was a part of the house that all the waitresses had said that they were hearing things, and it was in the bathroom. Yes, I was in the girls' bathroom.
Proud moments in John history.
Yes. So what I heard from this, and you tell me, we'll listen to it again, is I heard Daddy go night-night.
Could you make that light light up for me?
So what do you guys think?
It sounds like two things. I mean, I can
pick up the daddy go night night now that you said that, but after that it sounds like a female voice, almost in kind of a sing-songy note going up.
That's going to lead into another EVP that we have.
Okay.
That we heard, and it sounds like somebody is possibly singing them a bedtime.
Okay.
And that's at the same location or another
one? Same location. In the ladies' bathroom.
Can't get enough.
Go ahead. Hit that one, Danny. Try it again. So that's what I hear is kind of like a lullaby type of thing, maybe singing. And that was directly after the other
kind
one.
Kind of a la la la.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So possibly a mother. Or...
I think it sounds like three notes.
Yep. So...
Okay, so what is it about this location? So you said waitresses were being touched. And
yeah, we had always heard about this Pasco's.
And it's a restaurant?
Rumors of the waitresses that had worked there before. I knew somebody that had worked there and said they always experienced something. Always the waitresses upstairs. So we asked the owner and he said, yeah, come on down tonight. So it was a last minute thing and we jumped in the car, headed down and set up. And we were able to investigate for about 3-4 hours. And as you can see, we got a few good EVPs out.
Great.
It's a small world. You know, one of the EVPs you're going to hear from us is actually from a hair salon, which is a stone's throw from Johnny Pasco's.
Wow.
Oh, my God, you're right.
Right.
Oh, my God. Now driving there, I do remember that. Yeah,
this is great.
That was one of the landmarks.
Go ahead and hit that one, Danny.
Came all the way out here just to speak with you.
Okay, stop. That was the absolute craziest EVP I've ever heard.
Yeah, us
when
too.
I first heard that, and you are hearing this right, whoa, 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 whoa. And then after, there was another...
Yeah, the where are you,
where are you, where are you, where are you. When I first heard that, and it was about a week ago, Danny played this for me, and I said, does this group tell their people not to whisper? And sure enough, that is an EVP, and that's probably one of the most amazing ones I've ever heard.
Yeah, it's my favorite. I mean, part of it's biased just because that was actually my first investigation with goners. So,
right.
Yeah,
right.
The very first time, so started off with me unwrapping wires, only to find out I was wrapping them again around stuff and making a great investigator impression. But, I mean, you know, we searched it, the hair salon, it was really cool, and... when, you know, we listened to it after some of the guys, they have the equipment in their house watching the video. And that was actually on one of the videos. It was one of our cameras that caught the video and audio.
Yeah, it was called on multiple devices.
Yeah.
Wow.
I mean, and we were hanging out and it was cool. We were sitting there listening for stuff, watching. And, you know, that stuff takes hours. I mean, you know, when you watch the ghost shows and like, oh, it takes them 5 minutes. No, I mean, that's like 20, 30, 40 hours going through that stuff. And, you know, we had this stuff going, but we were kind of about to take a break, I remember. And we kind of turned away, and then you just heard that, whoa, whoa, whoa. We turned back, and we all, like, yelled at the same time, where are you, where are you,
now,
where
did
are
we, you? Did you hear it out loud, or did you hear it
no,
just
no, not at the time.
Okay.
No, so that's, yeah, that's the difference. So when you hear things out loud, that's the disembodied voices. And there actually is one that we're going to play today where it's like that. We right. heard it out loud yeah. and caught it, but... No, I mean all that, the whoa, whoa, whoa.
That particular EVP, you can almost picture somebody in another dimension kind of walking along, you know, it may be a bright sunny day to them, and all of a sudden they hear this disembodied voice of Tony asking them to say something to them, and they go, whoa, 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 where are you? You know?
Yeah.
So I think that's what keeps me going. That stuff right there, that's like an adrenaline rush when you start hearing that. Oh, and let me also say, we are naming a few of the places. I do have permission from Pasco's to mention the name, and I know a lot of people, and I know you've come across this, where people, the first thing that they say to you is, you're going to think I'm crazy.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And then they don't want anybody to know. They don't want you parking in front of their house or with a van with a sticker.
It's like
on
having
it.
An exterminator van in front of your
house.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah. Oh, they got roaches.
Yeah, they're gross.
All right, so what we're going to do next is an EVP that was captured by Dan and myself. This was in Belchertown, Mass. It was an old abandoned state school. And I believe it closed down in 1992. There was abuse by the employees.
Doesn't there always in state schools?
It's I don't know. Yeah. Well, go ahead and play it. I gotta explain something afterwards. So Dan's gonna go ahead and play the EVP we captured, and this was in the library at the state school.
Moldy wood.
So the yelling was actually the EVP.
Now, listen to it again, and you tell me what you guys hear.
Moldy wood.
Get out!
I hear get lost.
See, really? I hear get out.
I hear get lost. Two versus two.
Experience wins.
we've gotten several of those over the years, the get out. EVPs.
Yeah.
And
that seems like the most common words from
I always think of, you know, remember the Eddie Murphy skit where he said, what is wrong with people? They hear get out and they stay in the house.
Yeah.
He said, I would be out, you know.
You get out and we ask more questions.
Right.
So, but what I heard was get out. And anyway, this state school, there's a documentary, and I think did we send it to you?
No.
I didn't
Still
send
waiting.
It to you. I gotta send that over and then pass it on to Kurt as well. It's a pretty interesting place. I went in and asked the police station right next door if I could go in, and at the time I was by myself, and they said, no, we can't grant you permission to go in there because asbestos, floors have fallen in. He said, I appreciate you asking, but I can also tell you that we're never going in there. So in other words, go ahead. So also, when I do send the link to you guys and you guys can watch it, I want to post a link on the website so people can watch this documentary. They have a news crew go in and videotape inside. You can see the kids are... it's so sad. You get halfway through the video and you want to shut it off.
Okay, so while it was still open and going, they did an expose on it?
You could see the kids are rolling around on the floor and they just didn't care about what had happened. And the guy that is narrating it went there, and he talks about a time where a kid was escaping, a young child, and he got out, and they got him. I don't even like telling the story. They got him back, and to teach him a lesson, they cut the head of his penis.
Oh, no. Oh, my God.
And said, if you do it again, we'll cut it off.
Wow.
So that's the type of abuse that went on there.
Wow. That's disgusting.
Yeah. So it does it really.
What is wrong with people?
Yeah.
I mean, how could somebody do that?
And that's why I guess they started investigating, from what I can gather, in the early 80s and finally shut it down in 1992.
Wow. So.
But again, let's hear the EVP one more time so people can.
Moldy wood.
Now, was the bang after the Get Out you guys? Or
no.
Was, no?
That was, from what I can hear, I think it's a door. Yeah. He's saying, get out. Like, we're standing at his front door, and he shuts the door. We're inside. There's no doors. Huh. Everything's wide open. We were listening to this on my car radio on the way back, and the three of us, there was another guy that was in the group, and Dan was in the back seat, and he put it on his laptop, and we were playing it, and you heard it, and he said, whoa, pull over. We got to hear that again. It was chilling.
And so that wasn't in response to a question, because it sounds like you guys are just talking. Doing EVPs at that time.
Yeah, we're going around taking pictures, not asking any questions.
So it could be residual, just something that happened, or they could hear you down there and be telling you to get lost or get out.
I think they were a little annoyed that we were there. That's what it sounds like. So.
Wow. That's one of the loudest things I've ever heard in my life.
Gary Galka. Probably heard of him. Mm-hmm. He makes most of the equipment that we use.
He made the Melmeter.
The Melmeter, the REM pod, all that stuff. So anyway, I brought it to him, and he said it's one of the clearest, best EVPs he's ever heard. So
And you said too. You said it kind of sounded like he had an accent.
Yeah, like it does. I don't know if it English or Scottish.
I'd say a Maine accent, kind of.
Maine.
Yeah.
Go ahead, do an impression for me.
Get out!
So why don't we go ahead and do the next EVP? Nice. And that's going to be from Goners.
You want the Reiners one, the meth detector one?
Yeah, so Reiners on Maine.
Go ahead and play it.
In Meriden.
You can do it. Light up the entire EMF detector. Can you make the third button go on and off, on and off, on and off if you went to school with Steven? Okay.
So, okay was...
That one's a little hard to hear. This is Riders on Main in Meriden, Connecticut, which was, and still is, super haunted. This investigation actually turned into The Uninvited on... the episode called The Uninvited on The Haunting.
Wow.
What you're hearing is Karen Hollis, our lead psychic, in the basement of Riders, and she has a K2 meter, and she's with my oldest daughter, Melanie. And Karen suspected she knew who, or at least who one of the spirits was. And she, I don't know if it's in a clip, but she said, she mentioned, lead into it is, did you go to high school with Dan? And then she says, if you can, light up the third light for me, and you hear, if you listen closely, you'll hear the spirit say, I'm so weak. And that was the EVP. Now, she didn't hear that at the time. We only heard that during analysis. But we had lots of other EVPs there that we heard both with our ears and later on cameras and recorders.
Can we play that one again?
Yeah, so it's going to be near the end. She's going to say...
Okay, after she says okay.
Dan, play it twice in a row, and then we'll talk about it.
You can do it. Light up the entire EMF detector. Can you make the third button go on and off, on and off, on and off if you went to school with Steven?
And you know what? I remember saying recently, actually, when Goners was doing a talk, and, some people were, the Q&A section, people were asking her questions about being psychic. And I remember she was talking about this EVP and this experience. And she had said to the woman asking, I was asking it questions, and she'll hear things that we wouldn't. She's a clear audience, so she actually hears things. And she had said that she heard it say that psychically, and then it got picked up on the recording. So I'm not sure, but I think when she says okay, that might even be her talking to it, and maybe travel slowly. But I just learned that a couple weeks ago. I thought that was kind of interesting.
You could hear it at the end where it said, I'm
It's a whisper.
Wow.
It's not get out.
Yeah, get out. Yeah.
Play the end a couple times.
No, I want you to play that again, and then we'll move on to the next one.
Let's do the end.
Go ahead.
Okay.
Wow, amazing evidence.
Yeah.
There's a lot more EVPs from the writers on Main Investigation you can access on our SoundCloud page, which you can get through our website, ghostsofnewengland.org. Ghostsofnewengland, all one word, .org.
Did you ever find out who that was? Or?
We did, and I can't mention the name because okay. It was actually a recent death.
Oh, gotcha.
Of someone right in the area. But wow. We are fairly certain who it was.
Did anybody say that sounded like my family member?
No, the family was actually still grieving. Gotcha. And we didn't want to approach them.
So we're going to put the link to your website in our show notes.
Okay.
So we'll have it on there. So anybody who wants to access their site or wants to contact them, you're having any issues, absolutely call them.
Good. Thank you.
Thank you.
And so, what are we going on?
And then we actually have another EVP from that investigation that we brought with us.
I'll play that one.
Come on. Do something for us. Come on.
Now, the hey-hey at the end is actually the EVP. What you heard was investigator Tom Hummel, who was also our electrical engineer. And this was an all-night investigation with Tom and Pat Murphy. And they hadn't gotten anything so far. So Tom's getting a little frustrated. He's saying, come on, say something to us, will you? And the footsteps you hear, the creaking, is they were actually going up a flight of stairs up to the ground level floor of the restaurant. They had been in the cellar. And just as they got to the top of the stairs, the recorder that they had left behind picked up the hey, hey. In other words, you know, you're leaving, hey, hey.
Come back here.
I'm ready now.
That investigation, we actually got so familiar with the spirits there that I actually did this. I was writing up a synopsis for a producer on a haunting of that investigation. And I wanted to get clarification on something. And it got to the point where we could actually go over there, go in the basement with a recorder, ask a question, get an answer.
Wow.
And so I picked up a couple of the guys. I said, come on, let's go to Writers. And this was in, right in their busy time at 8 o'clock at night. There's a jukebox going on upstairs. Our investigations actually occurred from 1 o'clock in the morning until about 6 o'clock in the morning. Mm-hmm. But this was just a spur of the moment thing. So I went to what I knew was a hot spot in the writer's basement. And I wanted to know if a particular spirit was being held there against their will. And that's what I asked. Are you held here against your will? And I heard clear as a bell, even over the jukebox, everything on the recorder, yes. And I said, who is holding you here? And there was a garbled response. I couldn't make heads or tails of it after in analysis. And the closest I could find to it was the name of a demon in Jewish theology.
Oh, okay.
But I don't want to say that's what it was.
Yeah.
It was a group of syllables, and I couldn't hear it clearly, but it sure sounded like that.
Either way, that's interesting. Yeah.
Wow. Oh, that was good. Do they call you, or do you call them for these investigations?
Oh, they call us.
They call you.
Yeah.
Now, what was their story? Did they say that they're being tormented by
the
spirits?
Lynn Ryder and her husband had bought a restaurant in Meriden whose original name was Maury's. And anybody who grew up in Meriden or that area, Maury's was the place to go. Mm-hmm. On Sunday afternoon, families would go there. They were known for their prime rib dinners. It was kind of a neighborhood bar.
Can we go when we're done?
We can, sure.
Break.
And they did massive renovations when they first bought the place because they wanted to make it their own. They wanted to put their own stamp on it. And they turned it into a sports bar.
Yeah.
Right as the renovations began, they noticed really weird things began to happen. Lynn had bought like 24 shot glasses, and they all disappeared. And she thought one of the staff had stolen them. She went to Karen Hollis, our psychic. This is long before any investigation we really knew about Riders. And Karen told her to go in the cellar to a part where there was a dirt floor and dig around under a box and you'll find the glasses. And she did.
Wow. Now stop there for a second, but you find this happens a lot with renovations in old places.
It does seem to trigger it, I think, sometimes. You know, especially if you have an intelligent haunt.
Yeah.
An interactive haunt where you can actually ask, you know, a ghost questions, have conversations with them, which, you know, we have done to a certain extent. You get two or three answers. There always seems to be a point that they won't cross. You know, we talked about the get out. It's like, you know, they want to talk to you, but they don't. You know, a lot of the EVPs we get, I'm sure that you've gotten, you don't hear them at the time. You only hear them on the recorder and the camera audio after. But the ones that you do hear, like there's a Clinton investigation. One of them is coming up, I think, on the list. We actually heard that at the time. And then you ask another question, like, why are you here? Why are you doing this? And you don't get an answer. Mm-hmm. And it's really frustrating because you try to develop a rapport with these things, but there's like a line they won't cross, or maybe they expend all their energy on that answer.
I was
going to
say, that also comes into play.
They have to kind of recharge their batteries before they can speak again.
I've heard that now a few times, and I forgot to ask you to find that one. I know I sent it to you before about the EVP that I got at Belchertown, where the woman said in my ear, "You better run."
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, it was pretty crazy. You weren't there that night. I was with Mags that night. But right in between us, she's made my ear. "You better run."
Oh my gosh. And you know what's funny about those two? Not funny, but you never know what the intent is, you know? It could be like a threat, like, "You better run," or it better be like, "Hey, something's coming. You better run."
Right. Yeah, right. They probably think that we're really scared and probably will run, but, yeah.
Well, it does, you know, and I hear sometimes that you don't want to bother them too much and ghosts get annoyed. That's understandable, but when you were alive, you probably wondered about ghosts. Like, if I die and stick around, how can I blame when you guys were trying to get a hold of me all the time? I mean, that's interesting.
I'm going to be the one to move your keys, by the way.
Great.
So, Dan, why don't we move on to the next one? I believe that's the one with the handprint.
Who put the handprints on there? Who put the handprints on there?
Okay, so I'll explain where this is from. First, I want to see your thoughts on what you heard.
My thought is somebody who remained nameless was copying up to it. I did.
Yeah, me too.
So the story behind this... I was told about 6 months ago by random people that I have spirits following me around. And I think it's because of where I've been and how I don't protect myself most of the time when we do go into these locations. And we should have, you know. But anyway, they follow me around. And this one happens to be what I was told was a little girl, but that obviously doesn't sound like a little girl.
No, that does not.
So I go, and some nights I stay at my girlfriend's house, and I go to work one day, and she sends me a photo. She goes, "You're not going to believe what I see on the bed." And we have one of those blankets where you go one direction, you know, it darkens, and then the other, and it lightens. She always smooths everything out and makes the bed, and she goes to run her errands, and keep in mind, we don't have our kids around. We have the same schedule. We don't have our kids around for 3 or 4 days before that. So she comes back. It's like 1 p.m. She sends me a picture, and she goes, "What do you see?" And I said, "Your handprint on a blanket?" She goes, "Look again." And sure enough, obviously, I can't show the picture here, but and I'll put it up on the page. There's her handprint, and then there's a small handprint. So I tried to ease her mind, say, "Oh, it's nothing, it's, you know, whatever, and probably the kids from the other day." So she goes to work the next day, and I never do this, ask questions, and I don't recommend to ask questions in your own house or where you're staying, because I believe that it invites things. to come and answer you.
Mm-hmm.
So I put the recorder on the bed, asked the question, took the dog out for a walk, let him go to the bathroom, came back, shut the recorder off, put the dog in the crate, headed to work, put it on my stereo in the car. And I think that was 4 or 5 seconds in, I asked the question and bam, I did.
Wow.
Yeah, so ever since then we've been, you know, we see things. I explained to you guys before the show started how it seems to pop up. And we're even thinking, like I said before, we'd like to probably have you over. She's against having me investigate it.
Sure.
Because I stay there.
And yeah, we'd be happy to.
Like to have somebody that doesn't know anything about her or, you know, the house. But anyway, that was pretty clear to me. And that's not the only EVP I've gotten from there. Usually what I'll do is I'll put the recorder down, won't say a thing, and leave. There's another one, I don't think Dan has it with him tonight, where I did that, and it was only about 2 or 3 minutes long. And I took the dog out, and I left the door open. And as soon as I go outside, you hear, you remember this one? Where you hear, it's wide open.
Yeah.
And it was pretty clear. Maybe I'll try to get that for the next show.
It was around the same volume, because when we met up and we were talking about it, you were playing it for me, and you're like, hey, want to hear this? And I was leaning so close to his phone, he's like, no, you can sit like three tables away if you want. You can hear it. And yeah, it was the I did, and the open or wide open.
It's wide open, yeah. So, and ever since then, even last night, I stayed over there, and there's a handprint on the... I don't know, maybe they're having a little fun with it. I don't know.
Could be.
Yeah.
Maybe they just like the feel of it.
Well, what I was told by a friend of mine that's a medium psychic is that the little child is comfortable with me because of how I am with my kids. Mm-hmm. And likes my quirkiness and feels comfortable. And she says that her name is Samantha, and she's from the late 1800s, early 1900s, but again, I've never captured that, so.
Right.
So, that's what I got.
You got to be Uncle John.
That's
Congrats.
It. I got another child.
So, the next one, good segue, actually. You were talking about how be careful about asking too many questions, and it can invite things, and they want to talk more and more and more. Our next one is going to be from a house, another investigation that ended up on a haunting. And the client was constantly, constantly doing EVPs. I mean, he had hundreds, thousands, I think even, not thousands, but I mean, over 1,000. And Kurt, you're the one that talked to him, so if you want to.
He did. When he first contacted me, he said, he told me a little bit about the experiences he had had in the house growing up there. And, you know, seeing things and doors opening and closed and having prophetic dreams and things like that. And he had, you know, from watching the paranormal shows on television, he got the idea to get a recorder and go around his house asking questions. And he had managed to record at the time around 500 EVPs. So when he called me, I said, well, let me come over and sit with you some afternoon. We'll listen to these and see what, you know, see what's here. And I always, you know, honestly, I'm skeptical of anybody who, you know, presents evidence, because so many things can be mistaken as an EVP. You know, movement of the recorder, he, you know, moved his finger on the recorder and it kind of sounds like this.
I think that's
sounds
the
like that.
Biggest type.
You know, I'm the same way too. Also, we would get, and you probably have too, pictures emailed to us.
Oh, yeah.
And I don't know the situation. I don't know the weather. I don't know where, you know, who is in the house, that type of thing. So, yeah, like you, I like to be there. If they capture it, I'm there. I know what was going on.
Well, a lot of these EVPs he had were pretty startling. You could clearly hear voices saying that they were going to give him cancer. They were going to kill his son, who was at the time was in Afghanistan in the army. He actually did have cancer. There was one voice saying they're going to get into his liver and kill him. These are very, you know, gruff sounding evil voices. And there was one spot in particular in his house that it was a crawl space in the attic where he would go a lot of times, and ask these questions to get EVPs. And he was going back a year or so at this time, at this point. And he played one that said, he was asking, what should I do? What do you want of me? What do you want me to do? And the voice said, why don't you call Kurt Knapp? And this was recorded, and I looked at him and said, you are so full of crap. and I said, you're telling me you recorded that a year ago? He said, I swear to God.
And you're just calling me now?
Yeah, well, he says, I didn't even know your name until you got here today. I just called Goners. I had no idea. He said, I didn't make any connection with this. So here's an EVP that he supposedly recorded a year ago telling him that he should call me.
Please tell me we brought this one.
No. No, because you know why? Because he controls the EVPs. He wants complete ownership of them. He won't let anybody.
Yeah, we only brought ones that we caught on investigation.
And that's fine. But just coincidentally, directly across the street from his house is the most haunted house I've ever investigated. Literally within a stone's throw of his front porch, where we got things thrown at us, light bulbs unscrewed from sockets and thrown at us.
Okay, so when are we going?
Well, unfortunately, I can tell you the story somewhat, but I can't use the name because it's attached to a business.
Yeah.
And the house stands empty to this day because as a result, largely, of things that happened there, the company that owns it has decided to leave the space empty because they know they can't put people in there. Their intent was to build offices, to renovate and put offices in it. But they decided not to. So leading up to that, this is Mike Ahern and I believe Kelly and who else? Tony Papa.
Yeah.
In the basement of the Corbo residence on Main Street in Cromwell. And Mike is asking a series of questions. And we aren't sure what this sound was. Some people have said it sounds like a cat. There was no cats in the house at all. Now, you have to remember that we did get a lot of other personal experiences. And we also had fingerprints appear on a piece of woodwork from, we believe, was an old unused coal bin down in the cellar near fingerprints of a child. There's no children in the house at all.
Yeah, so you're going to hear us talking. You're going to hear little sounds. Kind of sounds like a little bit squeaky. I mean, then you're going to hear like a really clear sound, though. You're going to know. We're going to do the thing that they always do on TV. What was that?
Who is purple? Was there a little kid that was playing in the coal bin that went upstairs?
What is that?
Now that was that, and I said, there was no animals in the house at all. That was also heard
I could
by
be
the investigators.
Wrong, but what was it? Hello?
It could be. We've tried to, we've had various people listen to it.
That's what I heard,
and
right?
And somebody will say, no. They hear no, and somebody says, hello.
I heard hello.
And to me, it kind of sounds a little like a like.
Can
a
you just
cry.
Play the that part of it towards the end?
Yeah, and we heard that with our own ears. We're like, hey.
Hello.
I don't know if that said it, but we were saying it in our heads.
Who is purple? Was there a little kid that was playing in the coal bin that went upstairs?
What is that?
I clearly heard, hello!
Yeah, very, very well could be. The reference to purple in the beginning of that is one of the recordings, the EVPs, that the client had captured. He kept hearing the name purple. He would ask, who are you? And the response would be, purple. So we were trying to find out who that was.
Yeah, weird.
Was it Barney?
Well, the dinosaur? There was actually, if you go to our YouTube channel, Goners on TV, You can actually watch this entire episode of A Haunting called The Well to Hell, and it's all about the experiences of the client and our investigation of his house. Make a long story short, his house was built in 1759, I believe it was. It was owned by a man who was active in the slave trade in the West Indies. Also had slaves in the house. Numerous people had died there over the years. In fact, there was a cemetery in the backyard of the house that someone had tried to hide at one point. There was probably 12 graves, and they had taken the headstones. It was about 1840, and they dug holes and they laid them horizontal. And when the current owner of the house wanted to have a new septic tank put in,
they found them.
They found that they were popping up headstones out of the ground and bones and God only knows what else.
So
that was pretty much when the activity really kicks into high gear. But,
I'm connecting the two.
It's very, very good connection. But the producers on A Haunting treated it very well. They followed the storyline that we gave them, and we were very happy with the outcome.
That's good. That was one of my problems. I had actually interviewed with a guy from Fact Fake Paranormal Files. Yeah.
Factor Fake.
Devin Marble.
Oh, my God.
I interviewed with him and Elaine White, who was a producer.
Jelly.
For a show that they were doing. It never got picked up. They loved me, and they told me that they'd like to have me do something in the future, but it never got picked up.
So oh, bummer.
But that was part of show that
Marble.
I know, I get so distracted by Devin.
Adorable.
Yeah, that was the show was going to be like a main station where it would receive calls about, you know, somewhere being haunted. And he had groups all over the U.S. And he'd say, like, John, okay, you're going to handle New England, so I'm going to call you if I need you. And they send you all the equipment, bands, everything.
Right.
And they send you to the location. You investigate, do the research, do evidence review. He said it would be about 4 days every time you went. And they were trying for, what he explained to me was 13 weeks.
Okay.
Try it out.
13 episodes.
Yeah, right. 13 episodes and see how it worked. But obviously it never got picked up.
We have been interviewed a number of times by various producers. In fact, we just went through a whole series of Skype interviews with a casting
company. That's
exactly
what I did. Skype interview.
In New York. And one of the things I stress, which is probably why we do not have our own series, is that we only told the truth.
You heard, okay. Oh.
Jesus.
We just looked at each other. Did you hear that, Kurt?
What?
I was like,
what did you say?
It's 9 o'clock.
Oh.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God. My heart just went. The part with the show that I have a problem with, and this is where I was going before I lost my train of thought, was editing. I said I'll never do a show unless I have a part in the editing.
Right.
I don't like how these shows you see on TV are, you know, everything's left out like, for instance, did you ever see the episode of Ghost Adventures with a brick went flying?
Oh, yeah.
The original episode.
I mean, I don't know. I have a hard time with that.
Well, yeah. here's the thing, you know, I mean, every paranormal show has a formula they go by.
Yeah.
A template. And A Haunting, which we've been on now few times, has one too. They go to a commercial every 12 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
And they want to do what you call in radio. Kelly, remember, you call it power out.
Yeah.
You don't just drop it and go to a break. You want to have the audience grabbed with something interesting so they'll come back after they go make their sandwich in the kitchen or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, keeping that in mind, they do juggle maybe the time frame around somewhat, so they can do those power outs to commercial. And I mean, some of the shows are ridiculous. They have a formula that is so strict. You have to have so many scares per minute. You know, for 20 minutes, you have to have 3 scares.
Yeah.
And, you can't see me. I'm rolling my eyes.
Yeah. Well, that, you know, I don't even want to be involved in stuff like that.
I agree.
I think it's interesting what a lot of, you know, groups do. They go and do an investigation. They find something. They help the client either to cope with it in some manner. But this, you know, a lot of the shows have this dramatic ending where the medium, the priest, the clairaudient, whatever, the Wiccan priest comes in, you know, throws some sea salt, some holy water, burns some sage. The sun comes out, the windows open, the curtains are blowing in the wind, everyone smells roses all of a sudden, and everything's good, you know? It's like you got rid of the demon. And the only time I've seen that stuff work, honestly, and a lot of people are going to probably hate this, what I'm saying, and disagree with it, but the only time all that smoke and mirror stuff works is when the haunting is only in the mind of the client, and they're looking for some out from it. You know, they think they have a ghost in their house, and it's almost like a cycle, a spiral, you know. Maybe they do have some legitimate paranormal activity. Maybe one thing happened, right? But from then on, everything that happens is a ghost. The ghost did that. The coffee pot boiled over. It's a ghost, you know. My God, the house is haunted. The toilet backed up. It's the ghost again. So, and by then, they're ready for somebody. And there's a lot of unscrupulous people who will, you know, come in and take advantage of somebody like that. So, we can get rid of ghosts for you. You know, $500, no problem.
Met those.
And, you know, the people are so desperate to get rid of this ghost in their house, this phony ghost, they'll glom onto any placebo that they can, and the group tells them, okay, you know, we did it, it's gone. And they say, thank you so much, here's your check. And that's not what we're about. We are not about that. You know, I'm sure you agree, most of the time, if there's a ghost in the house, you are not getting rid of it. Because they've been there for 100 years, 200 years, and they're not going to move on just because somebody came in and threw some holy water around.
And I agree with you. I think that that most of the time we were there to tell them what it was, if it was bad,
right?
If you were okay. Yeah. And a lot of times it is. It's, and like I'm explaining to you,
I think most of the time it is. Most of the time it's okay.
It's fine.
Yeah.
Yeah,
those horrifying ones or being attacked, I mean, that's
what you see on TV.
Yeah, and again, that's far between.
Yeah,
I don't want to talk ill of another, you know, show, but like when ghosts attack, I couldn't watch 5 minutes of that. I said, this is pure garbage.
It is.
It is such bull that, I mean, how can they put this on here?
I think, well, they want you to tune in next week.
Well, exactly. They want to sell soap powder or cars or whatever.
Okay, so that was just a few of the EVPs that we've captured between both groups, and probably some of the best. We have some, too, that we also forgot to pass on to Dan. Maybe we'll have those the next time. So anyway, if anybody listening has any EVPs, anything you want us to hear, any questions, any of that, you can email us at deadtribepodcast@gmail.com. And also Goners, their website is ghostsofnewengland.org. Everything is kept confidential. If you, like I said, if you have any questions, feel free to email either of us. And sometime down
from there.
Yeah, sometime down the road, we want to have a call-in where we can answer some questions live also. That sound good? Kurt?
Sounds good to me, sure.
All right, and we did talk about this. You guys didn't hear it, but we're going to try to get Kurt on a few more times, more often. See if we can slip him a couple dollars.
I work cheap.
One of us here knows where he lives, so
well, I think two of us now.
Yeah.
Comes to find out, Dan and Kurt are neighbors, so Kurt, thank you.
Well, thank you for having me on. I really enjoyed it. I look forward to coming back at some point. And wish you all the best with your podcast. And I'm sure you're going to have an audience.
Yeah, I'm excited.
Thank you. Yeah, so thank you for listening. Loved it. I'm Kelly.
And I'm John.
Dead Tribe Paranormal.
This is Echo Pod Media.
Echo Pod Media. Echo Pod Media. Echo Pod Media.